Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Irina Logunina, Director of Special Projects at RFERL's Russian Service. Irina, thanks very much for joining me again today.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right. Let's talk about the coronavirus and the situation in Russia as it stands today. To me, some of the basic context is that President Vladimir Putin's government seemed early in the year to be confident that the pandemic would maybe not bypass Russia, but essentially not take hold and not affect the country severely. This was inaccurate. And now, like in many countries, there's a new surge of cases and of deaths from COVID-19 in recent weeks. The daily number of confirmed new cases has surpassed the highest mark that it hit in the spring and gone higher, reaching above 18,000 the past 4 days, I think, including today. Now, with that, there's been a return to some of the problems that Russia experienced in the spring with handling the coronavirus, hospitals full, ambulance crews waiting in line or scrambling to find a place to bring a patient. Irina, the Russian service has, of course, been doing a lot of detailed reporting on the situation. Could you describe the picture that has emerged?
Yes, Steve. Well, Russia, once again, like it was in spring, in autumn, for whatever reason, has a little bit of a delayed pandemic. And while Europe started seeing those surges in numbers about a month ago, Russia comes to this situation only now, only at the very end of October. Having said that, even now, the situation in provinces, in regions, is really there. As the last reports, there is no complete data. The government doesn't give it. But recently, the Ministry of Health, just last week, revealed that 16 regions of Russia already do not have free beds. The average percent of beds that is occupied by the COVID patients is 93-96%, which is absolutely horrible. And there is no capacity to expand the medical facilities, primarily not because Russia doesn't have like military who can build a hospital, but Russia doesn't have doctors who would work in those temporary field hospitals made for COVID patients, because so many doctors are now sick or on quarantine because of COVID. The Russian system is slightly different from what was imposed in Europe or in the United States, because, for example, in Europe, doctors would not come to your home if you have a COVID without severe symptoms. Right. And then if you have severe symptoms, the ambulance will take you to the hospital. In Russia, it's different because you still can call the doctor to visit you at home if you have high fever for several days. To some extent, it's a comfort level for people. It adds comfort in this horrible situation that we are all in. On the other hand, it adds to the risk that doctors face in their day-to-day work. So the situation is really bad, and there are several regions in Russia where it gets worse day by day. Mm. I have a friend, Omsk, because her parents, older parents, are there and both have COVID. So her mother was offered, her mother has high fever, so her mother was offered a sitting place in the hospital, and literally a chair in the hospital, because there are no free beds anymore. And then Yesterday, there was a video from this particular hospital taken by one of the patients where you can see that people really, really sit on the chairs, and there are eight free chairs remaining, and people are in beds in the corridor.
Right.
So that's how the picture is, and it's not getting any better. It's not getting any. There is no prospect. There is no hope that would somehow slow down because there are few quarantine measures imposed in Russia, and it's unclear whether Russian authorities, both on Kremlin level and on regional level, are ready to impose strict quarantine measures.
Right. I mean, that's what I guess I wanted to ask about next. You know, as I mentioned, the recent surge in COVID-19 cases is happening in many countries, including and maybe especially in Europe. The Czech Republic, where we are, has been one of the hardest hit lately. There's a fairly tight lockdown nationwide that was reintroduced in recent days, along with new elements such as a 9 p.m. curfew. Stores were closed yesterday and will be closed on Sundays until November 20th at the earliest. This is highly unusual for the Czech Republic and would be for Russia as well. Now, in Russia, I believe there are fewer lockdown measures this fall. Tell us a bit, Irina, about what's happening with restrictive measures in Russia and what is the government's thinking, what the government's thinking seems to be on that score. I mean, you mentioned they may not be taking as many measures as they did in the past.
Well, as you said, that's absolutely correct. The lockdown measures are not in place yet, and Russians are showing great resentment in following those measures and even wearing masks. For example, there is a movement right now of parents who are against online education for their kids. They are pretty vocal and they demand the return to schools. And that was the first thing that was done by the government, is distant education process for kids, because this is where the coronavirus infection is spreading the most, as we all know, from the beginning of the school year. In Moscow, for example, the invalids and the retired people were advised not to get out of the houses. So, like everywhere in the world, the Russian government was trying to address the most vulnerable layers of the population, the most vulnerable groups. But I have to say that if you live in Moscow, whether it's COVID pandemic or not, it's still very difficult for a disabled person in a wheelchair to get out of the house and move around the city. As for the pensioners, for example, the Moscow mayor decided that he will cancel the free public transportation usage that the mm-hmm. retired people could use without paying. Now they have to pay. So this is more or less a cosmetic measure.
Right.
But to give you the horrible picture of what's going on. Last week, one of the greatest Russian conductors died, Alexander Vyernikov, who was a conductor in Bolshoi Theater, who was conductor in the Royal Opera of Denmark for years. Last year, he worked in Mikhailovsky Theater in St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. So he died of what was announced as the atypical pneumonia caused by the coronavirus infection. So this is COVID-19, even though it was not pronounced that way. I looked at the online ticket sale of Mikhailovsky Theater the same day. They were still selling tickets for the next performances in the next weeks. In the middle of last week, the head of Bolshoi Theater announced that 124 staff members of the theater, both singers and technical personnel, were infected with COVID-19. Bolshoi Theater today continues to sell tickets for their performances. So I don't know when it's going to hit. I don't know when the government will decide to impose really strict measures, but they will. And unfortunately, as we now see with our experience being outside Russia, being in Europe, where all this was a little earlier, those measures will be unfortunately too late.
Yeah, that's quite amazing. You know what you describe about the theaters, including the Bolshoi, and I guess. There have been many cases in the Duma as well, the lower parliament house. Quite a situation there. Irina, we're running out of time. We're going to have to wrap it up there for today. Thank you very much for joining me again.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay, I'll be back next Monday with another edition of The Week Ahead in Russia. Meanwhile, please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thank you for listening.